Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I'll begin reading there in just a second. Probably go ahead and start while everyone's finding it, just to try and make use of our time. Verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to those, 'You also, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' And so they went. Again, he went out the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day long?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first.' When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day.' And he answered and said to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last.'" Everyone received the same reward when they came to be paid, as we see in verse 10 and 11. Those who came first, they thought they would receive more. They grumbled at the landowner. And those who showed up last received the same, but the reward itself isn't, I guess, the point I want to look at. The point being is that all that received the reward worked. They all did some work. God gives each of us different talents. The example of the good and slothful servants, all of those servants had talents, but the one who didn't use them, the one who did no work with what his master gave him, had it taken away from him. I have a friend who has surprised me in Bible knowledge. "By their fruits ye shall know them." We've taught our kids that their whole life through, that people show their true colors by what they do in their life. And this man never expressed any interest in God. He never showed any godly actions to me. And so I've been surprised when he has responded with knowledge from the Bible, because I didn't see any works in his life that showed he knew those things, let alone put them into practice. And he's retired. He's getting up in life, and he has told me that he drinks coffee with some guys, and one of them is a retired preacher. And he's told his wife to have him on speed dial, so if he gets really bad and gets rushed to the hospital, the preacher's supposed to run up there and try and baptize him. I don't think that's how it works. I'm shown nowhere that that is how it works. Luke 9, verse 62 tells us that no one who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is worthy of him. Just like showing up at death's bed and getting baptized to try and slide under the door isn't what we're taught, I also don't see anywhere in here, like the rich young ruler was looking for, "Have I done enough? I want to have done enough." The rich young ruler wasn't asking, I want to do more, I want to do more. He asked Jesus, "Have I done enough?" Luke 9:62 does not show us the principle of, "You've done enough. Luke 9:62 doesn't tell us you plow a while, and then when you're tired, you can just stop plowing. It doesn't teach that, does it? Eli was a priest, and Hannah, Samuel's mother, wished for a son, promised him to God if she got one, and she gave him to Eli to be a priest and do the work. And Eli did his job. He's a good example, not in everything. Eli wasn't perfect. None of us was perfect. The only perfect one has been crucified. But Eli did his work so long, it says that his eyes were dim. He worked, and I think he lived 96 years. He couldn't see. He worked at it so long. Retirement sounds very intriguing to me. Amber always said that if I retire, she's getting a job. Well, she's got a job now, so I asked her if I can retire. And she said, no, that's not exactly what she said. But the thought of having time to do things and be on less of a time constraint is very intriguing to me. And it's very exciting to me because of the opportunities it offers, the thought of it. But I think we all agree that retiring from an earthly job doesn't mean that I'm going to retire from being a Christian either, does it? That I've done enough. That mindset is nothing that I can find in the scriptures. I remember one of our elders, when I was growing up, having to set a stool behind him in the podium because he couldn't stand long enough to give a whole lesson. What an example that was. Although he couldn't stand, he could still talk. He could still preach. He could still relay God's message. And that's something that I think we all are blessed with. And isn't it wonderful that we don't have to build a huge monument? God doesn't place really high costs on us that we have to work our whole life savings to buy our salvation. It's not that way. We have to be obedient and do work for Him. And that depends on what we have the ability to do, doesn't it? God doesn't expect the same thing from all of us. I'm not on Facebook. I don't know who all is. Amber relays funny messages and things that she sees on Facebook. So I don't have any idea how many people in a day one Facebook account can reach. How many people that are on Facebook, and I'm just using this as an example, of opportunities to reach people. How many people in 1 week have posted one scripture? What about in 1 month? What about in 1 year? Look at all those opportunities that are right in our hand, in our phone, to reach others. How many of us take advantage of that and try to seize the day? At a former congregation we worshiped at, we did some radio messages. Real quick, 15-second ad, read a Bible verse, read a scripture, invite them to church. And that happened several times a day. And we were trying to utilize the resources we had the best way we could and reach as many people possible. And one of the members there was someone who had been on the radio for years. Once a week, he did a 30-second ad where he advertised his business. He did that himself in his own voice, and he was known across the panhandle. And so when this other work, we started it, was approached, said, hey, You want to do some of these? Oh, no, 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 no. I don't understand that. You're already on the radio every week. It's not a matter of, as Aaron said, well, I'm not a good public speaker. He was already doing it, but for some reason didn't want to be associated with that work of using his voice, his way to reach people in that way. We've got such wonderful examples in the Bible of people who worked. Moses, Joshua, Abraham, David, Isaiah, Enoch, Elijah, the apostles, the judges. In Matthew chapter 10, there's an example I want to talk about. Matthew chapter 10, verses 30 through 39. We're told to take up our cross. I may have written my, got to look here. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. You're more valuable than sparrows. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. For he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life will find it. This doesn't say just find your place to the cross and go sit there and wait for judgment, does it? It says you have to take your cross. You have to pick it up. You have to carry your load and do things. And that's what we need to think about. We don't need to fall into the worldly trap of enough, because we have a life, and it will never be measured until we get to judgment if it was enough. And that's not up to us. We're not going to judge that, are we? We're not going to judge that. So we need to pick up our cross, our load, and go. Go with it. Go to the work. We all have our crosses to bear. Ben and I remind people of what the assignment for worship is. And when someone is sick or out of town, we are so blessed to have so many people who readily say, yes, what do you need? What can I do? We've been some places where we haven't been that lucky. If you worshiped at a place where you had to lead a prayer every other week, you had to do the table every other week, is that too much? Jesus died for us. If we have to do the Lord's Supper twice a month, three times a month, every Sunday of the month, is that unreasonable service? And I haven't had anyone here ever say, no, I'm not doing it, because I've already done it before. I've never had anyone that I've asked to do that. So I'm not, please don't, I'm not trying to be specific here at anyone, because we are so blessed with so many people. But it's not unreasonable service, the few things we're asked to do here, is it? For sake of time, I'm looking through here and trying to, I want to tell one more story, and I'll try and be quick about it. I still remember to this day a first grade party at school where mothers and some grandparents came. I still remember that. My mother came, my grandmother came, and at one point in that party, the teacher went around and said, tell us who is with you. Introduce those that are sitting with you. For the life of me, I don't know why I did it. When it was my turn, I hit my head. I was too embarrassed to say, this is my mom, this is my grandma, these are names, and they're here for me today. I never got that chance again. It's been almost 50 years ago. Yes, I'm telling my age. But she didn't. They said, it's okay, it's okay. They humored me and told me that it was all right. But she never came back to another one of my little class parties. I'm sure that wasn't the reason, but that's one of the little crosses I have to bear. I wasted that opportunity to do good, and I never got the chance again. I was a first grader, and that still sticks in my head. We've got so many opportunities, but we're not guaranteed multiple opportunities with the same people. The sower sowed his seed all day as he went, regardless of what the ground he was in. He sowed it. He didn't wait. He didn't save it. John chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. We'll close with this verse. John chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. Do not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Passage where God was calling Samuel, and Samuel ran to Eli and said, here I am. It doesn't say, that must be for someone else. Also, just like the passage where God was looking, who can I send? Who can I send? The answer wasn't, you can send someone else. The answer was, here am I. Send me.